Yeshua HaLelu. Test 1, 2. Test 2, 3. You want to test my lapel mic? Okay. It's on. Test 1, 2. Thank you. It's working good. Hey, Buzz. How you doing? You made it. Amen. Amen. Okay, Diane, is there an order? Is there an order of service? Okay, welcome everybody. We're going to get started. Praise the Lord. Yeah, somebody's happy. Somebody's here to worship the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, I got. What is this, Diane? Oh, okay. Let's pray and we'll get started. Are we online? Okay, I want to say shalom to everybody that's watching and everybody that's here and those who are coming here and God bless you all. We're here. I'm Rabbi Joe, and this is for Zion's Sake Ministries and our Yehuda Messianic Congregation. Tonight is the end of the day of the last and greatest day of the feast that Jesus talked about in John 7:37. Tonight is the actual last day of that feast. And when he stood in the temple somewhere and he cried out, "If any man thirsts, let him come to me, and out of his belly will flow rivers of living water." Amen. And he cried out, it says. And this is that day. It's interesting. I had a Jewish friend contacted me. He lives out in Gray, and he, you know, uses that as an excuse not to come. But get that. These guys came from Myrtle Beach. So he uses that as an excuse. But anyway, he's not watching, so I can say what I want. But I didn't name him either, so I'm okay. All right. He knows who he is, but you don't. Anyway, the point is, he asked me, he said he had this vision of these, like this dam withholding living waters that was about, was getting ready to break forth, this dam of holding back living waters. And I thought, isn't that interesting that he's, by the Spirit, not even knowledgeable of the day, not even knowing that this is the day that our Lord cried out in the temple, "If any man thirst, let him come to me, and out of his belly will burst forth rivers of living water." Amen. And so I just thought that was really, really interesting that he did the same thing to me with one of the other feasts. And I just keep saying, if you come, you'll connect your vision with reality and Bible and teaching, and you know, and that's, so I'm glad you're here. Glad everybody's here, and hope more people come in, and we're going to get started. Let's pray. Well, again, welcome folks online. Tonight's message, it was such a hit yesterday that we're going to do it again. It'll probably be a little different because I'm led by the Spirit, but I'm going to message again will be as it was in the days of Noah. I feel that it's such an important message for the church, and more people need to hear it, so we're going to broadcast it on different channels so that we get more viewers to see it, because I think that people are just, it says, you know, in Matthew 24, as it was in the days of Noah, you know, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And when the floods began, you know, the people were marrying and giving in marriage, and they were, you know, living their lives, and they did not understand, it says. Everybody say that. And they did not understand until the floods began. They did not get it. And this world that we're in today, and I would say, I can tell you, the church doesn't get it either. The church doesn't get it either, and most of the church, not everybody. I don't want to overgeneralize. Some do get it, but the majority of people don't get it, and you'll see why. Listen to my message. Come, let us reason together. If you think you get it, and you think I don't get it, listen to what I have to say, and then decide whether I get it and whether you got it, or whether we both get it together. Amen. Praise the Lord. Did I get that right? Fred, you tell me. You check me on that, okay? All right. Diane is going to start. Do you have a microphone? Good to have a microphone. You just do the whole thing. You know, when you say the blessing over the candles, there's no limit to how many candles you can light. Diane is our acolyte. She knows what that is. She used to be a Catholic. I was an acolyte, but I wasn't even a Catholic. I just... I was just a bad boy. Gotta have some humor, right, Buzz? Got to fill the dead space. Amen. Amen. You know, we do things. We worship the Lord in spirit and truth here. We don't follow the letter of the law, but we want people to understand the things of the Jews. And I'm Jewish. Was raised Jewish, been Jewish. Well, they did my ancestry. I'm 99% Jewish, 1% Native American. Figure that one out. 99% Eastern European Jew, and somehow some Native American slipped in there. I don't know. So I'm more Native American than Liz Warren. I actually am. I'm more Native American. I should be running for president. Or at least getting kickbacks or, you know, high-paying positions at Harvard. What do you think? All right, Dan, pray. Come on, just.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kadoshenu b'mitzvotav v'tivanu lalik nashel yom tov. I know the Hebrew, but not the English. Deserving of praise are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who hallowed us by your commandments and instructed us to light the light for this festival.
Okay. All right. So let's pray, and then we're going to go do some worship. Let's just pray for the service. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Hoshana Rabbah, the great Hosanna. That's what today was called. It ends tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the Feast of Sukkot, your feast, and the Jewish feast, Lord, as we're going to learn tonight, the Feast of the Jews, as you called it in John chapter 7. Verse 2. We thank you, Lord, that you intended for us to understand the parables, understand the the allegory and the metaphor, that you said that we would understand it. And Lord, help us to see. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Father, I pray for the sick tonight. I pray for Carolyn's heart. I just pray, Lord, that that you heal her heart as she goes to the ER. She's driving herself, so she don't get worried. But she got a strange EKG at the went to the doctor. And so we just pray for healing in her heart and a good report. Pray for my friend Ken Dyer, pastor in Knoxville, whose heartbeat was 30 beats a minute yesterday. We just pray, Lord, that you get his heart rate gets up there, and if he needs a pacemaker put in, that they put it in, Lord, and that he's willing to go and get it done and not fool around, Lord. Just pray for his healing, Lord. I pray also for Deborah, for healing from bronchitis and sore throat and other yucky cold flu stuff that she has, Lord. We just pray that you heal her. Pray for Wendell and Maria, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would strengthen them and help them to come tonight, Lord, if they're able to make it. Lord, we just pray that you would just bring them tonight. We pray for Terry, for healing for his daughter-in-law who had an apparent stroke Wednesday, and they waited 2 or 3 days to get her treatment. And we just pray, Lord, for your intervention and your mercy for his daughter-in-law, that she's able to speak and that she's all functions are restored and her brain is healed. We pray in the name of Yeshua. We just bind all these attacks, Lord, on people. And in Yeshua's name, bless this service, Lord, and forgive our transgressions, and bind the enemy, Lord. Bind the strong man, we pray. In Yeshua's name, amen. Okay. We're going to do some worship. Is that? Yep.
We hear the Shema.
We'll do that afterward.
Okay.
Zman Simchatenu, this is the time of our rejoicing. Zman Simchatenu, this is the time of our rejoicing. Zman Simchatenu, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu.
This would be a good time to dance with palm branches. And I don't know where my lulav is.
Hallelujah, Sukkot has come. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Sukkot has come. Hallelujah, this is the time of our rejoicing.
Can somebody help David with my lulav?
Time of our rejoicing. Zaman Simchatenu, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu, Melech HaOlam, Shehegianu, Vekiyamanu, Vehigianu, Lazman Hazeh. Hallelujah.
Come and grab some palm branches, people. Buzz, why don't you lead us around the room? Let folks parade with you. Everybody follow Buzz. turn that up, please?
This is the time of our rejoicing.
Don't sit down. There's going to be another one. Praise the Lord. I'm going to explain why you're doing this. I mean, it's one of those things where you do it first, and then I explain why. Praise the Lord. Welcome, folks watching online. I'm Rabbi Joe. This is for Zion's Sake Ministries. This is our Hoshana Rabbah celebration. And we're glad you're with us. Tonight's message, as it was in the days of Noah. Hanging with us, and as we continue our worship. Hallelujah. Righteous of the Lord.
Shouts of joy
and victory resound in the tents of the righteous of the Lord. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things for us. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things for us. The Lord's right hand reigns on high. The Lord's right hand reigns on high.
You are glorious, O God.
Daughter of Zion, shout aloud, Israel, sing, rejoice with all your heart, O Jerusalem. For the Lord has taken your punishment, destroyed your enemies. King of Israel, Lord of all is he, in the midst of us, he is mighty. Rejoice, rejoice, daughter of Zion, shout aloud, Israel, sing, rejoice with all your heart, O Jerusalem. Ve'hir Hashem mishpatayim, dina oyvei. Melech Yisrael, Adonai, v'kirbev, al tirai, roni, roni, v'atziyon, ha'aril, Israel, sing, v'yaltzi, for the Lord your God in the midst of you, mighty is his name. Rejoicing over you with songs of gladness, singing joyfully, he will save us. Rejoice, rejoice, daughter of Zion, shout aloud, Israel. Sing, rejoice with all your heart, O Jerusalem.
Yeah. Adil Ariu Israel Kriyati Ole Bat Yerushalayim Bat Yerushalayim Bat Yerushalayim.
You got a slow one? Okay. Our worship leader is flying the friendly skies tonight.
Glorious, oh God. Glorious, oh God. Awesome in your power and praise. You are glorious, oh God. Glorious, O God, glorious in all of your ways. Oh, you are glorious, O God, glorious, O God, awesome in your power and praise. You are glorious, O God, glorious, O God. Glorious in all of your ways. And you are holy. There is none like you. You are worthy of more than I could ever do. And your glory, it fills the universe. And yet you have considered.
Love of God, the love
He pleads for you. He pleads for you who are weary to let him be the love of God, the love of God, and you'll see on that tree the love of God. He gave all for you.
I'm going to just give some announcements, and then we'll take up our offering tonight. You can take it. Thank you. If you want to queue up something as an offertory, but I'll tell you when to play it. Don't play it yet, okay? So we want to welcome everybody, and if anybody's visiting, I think we're mostly family here tonight, but if you haven't, is everybody on our mailing list? Does everybody know when we have services and things like that? Or if you're not and you'd like to be on our mailing list, do we have that clipboard around? And also, folks watching, if you'd like to, if you enjoy our teachings here, if you enjoy the word that you get from our, that I preach and Anthony, that we teach here, and you'd like to sign up for I have a month, well, almost monthly newsletter, bi-monthly sometimes. and if you'd like to sign up for the newsletter and you're watching online, you can do it right there on the website, and you can get my teaching newsletter. It's more of a teaching and than it is a newsletter, but we do give some updates and things. But anyhow, you can do that if you're interested. You can sign up right there at the website, and I encourage you to do so. People have been getting our newsletter for 20 years. There's one lady in Unicoi. I won't name her, but she's been supporting the ministry, and she's been receiving that newsletter for 20 years. It's amazing. Amazing. God laid it on my heart to start writing a newsletter 20 years ago in 1999. I mean, Prince's song was still relevant back then. That was a joke. Now, it's not relevant. Anyway, so this is the end of the feast. This is the end of the cycle. And this is the end of the... In Judaism, it's customary to read the Torah, the five books of Moses, and a reading from the prophets, and a reading from the writings. And so, in Hebrew, the Torah, the books... All those three books, the Torah, the writings, and the prophets, are called the Nevi'im, are the prophets, the Ketuvim are the writings, that would be like the Psalms, Esther, Job, Nehemiah, and so forth, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, okay? That would be the Ketuvim. The Nevi'im are the prophets. And then there's the Tanakh, the Torah, which is the five books of Moses, and that's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And so the Old Testament, which is often referred to in Judaism as the Pentateuch or the Tanakh, the Hebrew word for it is the Tanakh, and that's kind of an acronym for the Torah. Tanakh, the Torah, the Nevi'im, which is the prophets, and then the Ketuvim, the writings. And so tonight begins, or tomorrow, a new cycle. So I want you to think for a second. In Christian thinking, in Greek thinking is linear. If you ever watch a National Geographic program, or you read a National Geographic, or and you look at, or any kind of Science Today or whatever, magazine, and you see a timeline, it's always linear. Amen? It always goes, back to some point in time. Or if, you watch a program on History Channel, which is really more like the Alien Channel now, but, one of those kinds of channels, Animal Planet, I don't know, but where they go back and they talk about the pharaohs and they'll go back on a timeline, 3,000 years ago or 4,000. Some scientist will get on there and he'll talk about when King Tut lived, and then you'll see a dot on the line, and you'll see when Neanderthal man lived, and you'll see when Jesus Christ was born, maybe if they're not too secular, they'll put that in there, or they might put when Moses lived or something, and it'll be in a line. Do you understand what I'm saying? When the church was born or something, and you'll see a line of events with dots and years. Even if you look in your Bible, if you have a study Bible. And you look, you'll see oftentimes if you have a study Bible and you look at the first page of each chapter in a study Bible, what do you see? A timeline, right? Can I get an amen?
Yep.
Okay. But in Jewish thought, there's no line. It's a circle. In Judaism, life goes in circles and cycles. Cycles, cycles, and soikles. Cycles and cycles, okay? Circles and cycles. Like so life goes, and so we go in a circle. And so every year, we repeat the same calendar. Right, Anthony? We repeat. We go in a cycle. And every year, Jewish thought is circular. It's kind of it's not like reincarnation, but it's a reliving the same cycle every year, you know. And it's God's cycle. It's God. The Jewish people were the only culture in the world. God didn't give his culture to the Incas. God didn't give his culture to the Mayans. God didn't express his revelation to the French. God didn't give the Zambians a revelation of Mount Sinai. God gave it to the Jew. Amen. God chose the Jewish people, and you can read about it in Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says, "I chose you because I loved you." That's what it says. God chose the Jews. Now, there's many things that he chose the Jews for. I can tell you a few. He chose the Jewish people because he chose us to bear his word, the oracles. Paul said in Romans 3, he said, "Is what value is there in being a Jew? Much in every way," he says, because to the Jew was given the oracles of God. Well, the oracles are God's word. An oracle is the word of God, but it's also the revelation, the prophetic knowledge and understanding. To the Jew was given the revelation as well as the word of God. That's a big thing. We're the custodians of God's word. In fact, you know, there's only two translations of the Old Testament in existence, original translations. There's the Masoretic text, and there's the Dead Sea Scrolls. And the Dead Sea Scrolls were found maybe thousands of years after the Masoretic text, okay? The Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered thousands of years after the Masoretic text. And you know what theologians and scholars discovered when they read the Dead Sea Scrolls? It's identical to the Masoretic text. You know? But do you know there's some 500 manuscripts of the Greek New Testament? There's some 500 manuscripts of the Greek New Testament. And do you know what? They don't all match. They don't all match because some people messed with the Bible, and some people took out. There's some Bibles that take out things. I think of Mark chapter 8, where some Bibles will say in parentheses, if you read, don't do it right now, but you just think, remember that, Mark chapter 8, and you'll see this is not in the actual text, but we put it here in parentheses, because it's in some versions, but it's not in others. You know what I'm saying? And so there are 500 versions of the New Testament in Greek. But the Jews were custodians. And in the Torah, this is, I'm going to just the ark for a moment here to show you the Torah scroll. This is what the Bible looked like in the time of Jesus. This was a scroll. Okay. And so this scroll is underneath this beautiful velvet cloth. The scrolls. Remember, Paul said to one of his disciples, he said, "Bring me my scrolls." Amen. He was in prison. He said, "Bring me my scrolls." This is what he was talking about. You know, this is the Torah right here, and it takes a year to write one of these. Okay, it takes a whole year for a scribe to write the Torah. This is what the Bible looked like in the time of Jesus. All right. So if you're watching, this is what it looked like. You can see. I'll lift it up. You can see the parchment. That's parchment. Is that lambskin? Would that be sheepskin? Could be sheepskin, usually. Parchment that it's written on and sewn together. And a scribe will write the Torah, and it'll take him a whole year. And if he makes one mistake, he has to start all over again. No whiteout. He had to start all over again. So one of those Torah scrolls, brand new. That one's about 175 years old. It was saved from the Holocaust. It was brought out of Budapest, Hungary, during the Holocaust, and it was saved. And but we were able to purchase it used, and we got a, you know, so any robbers thinking that it's not, it's only worth a couple few thousand dollars, it's not worth 50,000. But a new one, you know, anybody, you know, a new one would cost about probably about 50,000, $40,000 to $50,000, you know, to buy a new one. Now, to the average person in the time of Yeshua, or even today, who has $50,000 to buy a book? Right? Except a wealthy synagogue. There's, you know, I grew up in a wealthy synagogue. Bob Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, went to my synagogue, and Paul Fireman, the chairman of Reebok Shoes, he went to my synagogue, and Sheldon Adelson, the guy that gave Donald Trump $150 million, he went to my synagogue. My synagogue could afford about 9 of those, and they did. And not only did they have Torahs in the Ark was about as big as this whole area, and it had a curtain, and there were all these Torahs in there, and they were covered in silver. Many of them were covered in silver and precious jewels, draped over them with precious jewels and silver. And it was like a museum, you know. It was like they had lasers, you know, in case anybody tried to steal them or something, you know. I mean, it was a big deal, you know. We're not so fancy, but that's okay. Amen? Because we have the Holy Spirit. So so I just want to share with you that Jewish thought is cyclical. So we've come to the end of the year now, and we begin a new season of the Bible, a new season of going through God's calendar. And I'm going to talk about God's calendar in a few minutes, okay? But right now, so we're gonna take up our offering for tonight, and we're going to take up the offering, and then we'll continue, and I'll give the message, and then we will go and to the sukkah, and we will continue our pouring the water, and Anthony will lead us in the hallel. Yep. Okay. So we'll go to the sukkah, the actual booth. But so let's pray over the offering. And if you're watching online and you'd like to contribute, you can do so online. You can support this ministry. But if you'd like a receipt, please give us your address. On PayPal, because we can't receipt you, and we only get when you give. If you don't give us your address, we just get your name, and then we have no way to receipt you. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this service and for this night. Thank you for these beloved people, and we ask that you bless this offering and multiply it, Lord. And you know the needs of this congregation, Lord. You know the needs of this ministry. In Yeshua's name, Lord, we give you the praise and the glory, and ask your blessing. Multiply it 100-fold. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. You can come. We bring our offerings. And if you have a tithe, either way, right there, the big box. If you want to have a spare change, we give. Yesterday we had a needy couple come in, and we got them a hotel room for the night. So we have a little basket there that we use to help people who are in need. And so if you have a little spare change, it's right there. So Carol's going to play us a song. Thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for your anointing, Lord. I put the service in your hands, Lord. Just have your way. This is a feast, and a feast is big, Lord. A feast is a table full of delicacies and foods and things that when I go to a feast, I tend to take too much, and sometimes I get two plates because I can't get it all on one. And so a feast has a lot to talk about. So we're going to ask that you would just fill us with your feast tonight, Lord, but help me to do it in a reasonable amount of time, Lord, here tonight, because I can't do it all. There's too much to talk about. So we just pray for your words, Lord, tonight. And we bind the enemy. I just ask that you would anoint me and bring forth your message now in Yeshua's name. The name of above all names, in Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. Amen. Okay. All right. So I've titled this message as it was in the days of Noah, And you a little closer, honey. A little bit closer to me, because I'm so good looking that I want people to be able to see me. Just kidding. No, seriously, that's close. Too, no, not too close. You don't want them to see things they shouldn't see. like my gray hair, you know, or my TBN ring, you know. How are we doing there? Okay. All right. They're all going to get it. We have the pros here. It's like, all right. Praise the Lord. Everybody say praise the Lord. Turn to Genesis chapter 8 for a second. Turn to Genesis chapter 8 while they're doing that. They're fixing that. Okay. And God's in control, people. Amen. You know, before we go, while they're fixing that, we're gonna mark yourself Genesis 8, and then let's, while they're doing that, we'll go to Leviticus 23. And I just want to tell you why we were doing the palm branch deal, okay? Leviticus 23. So, in verse 33, in Leviticus 23, getting ringing up here. Again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of the seventh month, and I'll tell you when to start. If you, on the 15th day of the seventh month is the Feast of Booths for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day is a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work of any kind. For 7 days you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. On the eighth day you shall have a holy convocation and present an offering by fire to the Lord. It is an assembly. You shall do no laborious work. These are the appointed times of the Lord, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations, and present burnt offerings and grain offerings, sacrifices. And it says on verse 39, on exactly the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the crops of the land, you shall celebrate the feast of the Lord for 7 days, with a rest on the first day and a rest on the eighth day. Now we're on the eighth day today. Now on the first day you shall take for yourselves the foliage of beautiful trees, palm branches, and boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Okay, so if anybody was wondering why do we want to parade around with palm branches, that's what God said to do on this feast. Parade around and rejoice with branches of willows of the brook, palm branches and willows of the brook, and rejoice before the Lord for 7 days. Thus you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall live in booths, or Hebrew, or sukkah. A sukkah is a booth, or a sukkot, booths, or tabernacles for 7 days. All the native born in Israel shall live in booths, so that your generations may know that I had the sons of Israel live in booths when I brought them out from the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So God's telling us to keep celebrating this feast, and Jews and many Christians celebrate this feast all around the world. At this time in Israel, there are hundreds of thousands of Christians, maybe over 100,000 Christians right now in Israel tonight. There's probably over 100,000 pilgrims, Christian pilgrims, maybe 200,000, 300,000 in Israel from all over the world, celebrating the end of this feast. And they're right, they would have been dancing at the Western Wall tonight, and celebration had been big deal. So but since we can't all be in Israel, we can come here. Amen. So you can start it now, Diane. All right. So so let's go back. So okay, we looked at the branches. And now turn, just hold, go to Revelation 7 for a second. Go to Revelation 7. I'm going to take us through the Bible here a little bit. And you're going to see something interesting. In Revelation 7, in verse 9, it says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands, and they cry out with a loud voice, 'Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God." Hallelujah. So Jews, traditional Jews, don't even know necessarily why they carry these palm branches, but we can see that in heaven we're going to be standing before the throne one day worshiping God with palm branches. And you know, and what does the fruit mean? Well, Yeshua, Jesus said, and welcome our friends on Facebook. I'm Rabbi Joe. This is For Zion's Sake Ministries. We welcome you to tonight's message. God bless you. In John 15, the Lord said, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. You are the branches. If anyone abides in me, he will bear much fruit." Amen? Whoever abides in me will bear much fruit. That's why we walk around with lemons. In Israel, they have something called an esrog, or an etrog, or a citron is another word for it, a citron. It's like a lemon, but it's not a lemon. It's bigger. It's a citrus fruit. It's delicious. Makes a great jam or preserves. But we don't have citrons here. They're very expensive, so we use lemons.
They never rot.
They do rot, but they dry up. They shrivel up. Yeah, they shrivel up. But anyway, so we use. The point is that we carry fruit with our branches. Why? Because Jesus said, "Any branch that bears no fruit will be tossed into the fire." Right. Any branch that does not bear fruit will be tossed into the fire. So we want to be fruitful boughs. Amen?
Amen?
He said, "I am the vine and you are the branches." So we want to be fruitful boughs. And that's why on this holiday, this is a picture of our fruitfulness. Amen? Now, if you've made it, now let's go back to time. If you've made it through time and you've been saved and you've done all the right stuff and you've made it to the feast, if you've made it to this feast that we just looked at in Revelation, you've had fruit. Amen? If you make it and you're standing before the throne in Revelation, you've overcome. Say, "I've overcome." If you're one of those people and those multitudes from every tribe, tongue, and nation in Revelation, waving this palm branch, doing this feast of the Jews, and you've got the We're playing. Why are we walking around with palm branches? Because we're rehearsing.
Amen.
We're getting ready for heaven. Amen? We're kids. We're the King's kids, right? And so we come to learn, and God gives us visuals. The great thing about being Jewish or hanging out with Jews is you get to do visual stuff.
Yep.
You get to do visual stuff. This is visual. And so you get to actually see where you're going. I just showed you Leviticus, where God said to do it, and I took you all the way to Revelation. And hopefully we'll all make it there. Amen? Well, hopefully we will all overcome. Now, when the floods came in Genesis 7, why does the Bible not record anybody knocking on the door of Noah's Ark? In Genesis 7, if we go there, now going back there, I've explained the branches. Now let's go to the message, as in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Noah. And so in Genesis 7, the flood came, Noah took 100 years or 120 years to build the ark. And all that time, nobody seemed to care, you know. I don't know where it's written that it was 100 years. I mean, somehow that figure stays in my mind. I think it's somewhere in the Bible. that Noah built the ark. It took him 100 years. And you would think Noah was building the ark and he was telling the world of his day, judgment is coming on the earth. For 100 years, he's telling the world, judgment is coming. God's going to destroy the world for 100 years of preaching. And not one person listened but his family, his wife, his sons and their wives, and their, you know, and then he brought animals two by two onto the ark. Amen. Nobody listened. So in Matthew 24, the Lord says, he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. That means gazillions of people are not going to be ready. It says, and they did not understand until the floods came and took them away. They did not understand until the floods came and took them all away. Anybody who's cocky enough and arrogant enough to think that they understand perfectly ought to have your head examined and needs to get on your knees and repent before the Lord. If you think you have it all figured out, I know I don't, but I think I have some idea. God said to me as a Jew, he said, to whom much is given, much is required. So he's required an awful lot from me. And I have an understanding of the Jewish connection. So that's why I'm bringing to you to share the knowledge that God's given me. So nobody knocked on the ark until the flood came. And he says, why? And I asked you a question. Why didn't they go? Why didn't why didn't they flock to the ark for safety? Why didn't they? It says the answer he gives in Matthew 24, because they did not understand the times. They did not understand. What didn't they understand? They didn't understand the times. They didn't understand the time of what was happening in the world, the time of judgment. They didn't understand that it was judgment. You know, I read an article yesterday. It was sent to me by it was an NBC News. Not that that's the most credible resource anymore, but it was about people taking a chip in their right hand. And this man, it was a video, it's on my Facebook page, and it's a video of a man, you can Google it, NBC story about a guy taking a computer chip in his right hand, and he went to work, and his chip in his hand opened the door to get into the building. The chip in his hand got him in, you know, identified him with security. Then when he went to the lunchroom, he couldn't buy anything. Remember, it says the mark of the beast, you won't be able to buy or sell. He needed to scan his hand in order to open the refrigerator to get food. And it's right there in the video. It's the mark of the beast. It's about the size of a piece of rice, and they're implanting it right now in Sweden and in places in Europe. They're starting to implant it in civilian, not just in military. I've heard of them doing this in military people's hands and the other places in the forehead, the Bible says. But this was in his right hand, and it showed an x-ray. You could see the chip. Now, if somebody pointed out on Facebook, they said, well, if they can hack a computer, do you think they can hack that chip?
Yeah.
Amen? I'm sure they can. The zombie apocalypse is coming, folks. It really is. It's coming sooner than we think. Okay, so the people didn't understand in Matthew 24. This is in the New Testament. What didn't they understand? They didn't understand the times. If they understood it was the end of the world and the flood, not just that it was the end of the world, they didn't understand that the flood was coming. But God says he's not going to judge the world this time with a flood of water. He's going to judge it by fire. Amen? So this whatever ark that God has for his people in this generation and in the last generation, it's got to be a fireproof ark, right? Not a waterproof ark. It's got to be a fireproof ark. Amen? Amen. So, but they didn't understand God's times, and so the word. did you know that? Well, when you have appointments, the word for God's times are called moedim, moedim or moed, means God's appointed times, moedim. Where do you put, if you're an organized person, where does an organized person, Martha, I bet you're organized, where do you put your appointments? On your calendar, right? So God has a calendar, and on his calendar, and that's how I know today is the day that Jesus walked into the temple, because this is the last day of the Feast of Sukkot on the biblical calendar. And you don't have to, you don't have to, I'm not special. Anybody can get one of these. I got it from Israel. I ordered a bunch. These are from Israel, and they have, they're parallel. They're beautiful art calendars. And they also, they have the feast. You see in the pink here, that's a feast right there. That's the feast of that's Hanukkah right down there. That's December. You see the pink, that's the feast. But it says December. And it gives you God's months. God's months are different than January, February, March, April, and May. So on God's months, or the biblical months, or the Jewish months, this is the month of Tishrei. Everybody say Tishrei. Tishrei. This is the seventh month. This is, now, what's the seventh month on the Western calendar? July is the seventh month, right? Not October. Not late October, is it? So we're in the 10th month. We're in the 7th month on God's calendar, but we're in the 10th month on the Western calendar. And this is a parallel. This gives you both. So you can keep track. For example, a couple days ago, something interesting happened. On the 17th day, when I go here, and when I read in Genesis 8, let's look in Genesis 8. So we're right there. Okay, it says in verse 4, well, let's look in verse 3. And the water receded, this is talking about Noah. Remember, this message is as it was in the days of Noah. And the water receded steadily from the earth, and at the end of 150 days, the water decreased. In verse 4, in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark rested upon the mountains of Ararat. The water decreased steadily. Amen? So, dry ground, the ark rested on dry ground on the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month. So I look in my trusty Jewish biblical God calendar, and I look at for the 17th day of the seventh month, and I see it's right smack here. It was Wednesday. That was the day, 4 days ago, that was the day when Noah's ark landed on Mount Ararat. Isn't that something? You can follow biblical dates. What you see when it says the sixth month or the first month or the 10th month, it's never talking about January, February, March, or April in your Bible. If you want to have a clue when God's months are, and when, seasons are a very big part. It says the angel Gabriel came to visit Mary in the sixth month. Do you know the sixth month on God's calendar began September 1st? So September 1st was the first day of the sixth month on God's calendar. And the angel, if you read in Luke 1, we won't read it tonight, but it says the angel came and visited Mary and told her the Holy Spirit would come and she would conceive a son by the Holy Spirit. Amen? And that was in the sixth month, which equates this year to September. Okay? Equates to the month of September, roughly. Okay, so if Mary was pregnant in September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May. That would put the birth of Jesus around, I'm born May 5th, so I kind of think he was born on May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. I mean, That's the biggest party day in May, right? I think we should have Christmas in May. Huh? Who wants to have Christmas in May? Let's all carumba, you know? We won't drink that, what's that Mexican, tequila or that beer. The most interesting man in the world, he drinks Mexican beer, Dos Equis. He's the most interesting man in the world. You ever seen those commercials? That guy, he was a Jewish guy anyway. But they got rid of him because he got too old. I guess when you get old, you're not interesting anymore. Anyhow, moving right along. So we God's appointed times are in his calendar, and this is the Jewish calendar. This is from Israel. Okay? And you can get one of these for $18. For $18, they're beautiful artwork. It has a 16-month calendar, and you can study your Bible. And you can get one. We have a stack of them over there, I think. And you can get one, take it home. They make great gifts. And they're full of teaching and Bible study stuff in here. I encourage you to pick one up. I'm not trying to sell you, but we have to ship them from Israel, so we got to cover the cost. So you can follow the Bible with a biblical calendar. Amen? A Jewish calendar. All right. Let's move on. So, God has appointed times. In Leviticus 23, he outlines 8 of those appointments. Another word for appointed time is appointment. God keeps his appointments, and there's 8 of them in Leviticus 23. And this feast that we're in right now, the Feast of Sukkot, we're at the very end. This is the last day of the feast, right? Amen? Amen. This is the last day of the feast. This is the 8th and final feast of God's appointed times on his calendar. Okay, this is the 8th one. And all of them are listed in Leviticus 23. I'm not saying that's the only place you'll find them. I'm just saying they're all explained and listed in what you're supposed to do on that day. Okay, so let's go on. And so God has a calendar. God has times. And God said, in the end of days, prior to his coming, we would not understand the world. He said, the millions and millions of people would not understand the time or the appointed time. That's pretty scary, isn't it? Yeah. It's pretty scary that millions of people will not understand it. And you know why they will not understand? Because unlike you, they didn't take the time or didn't care to come and learn God's calendar. They didn't take the time to come and learn from a Jewish believer, from a Jewish rabbi who believes in Jesus, who God sent 1,000 miles to teach you here in this area. And he sent one to Knoxville, Rabbi Weiner, and he sent Rabbi Meyerson down to Asheville and Spartanburg, and he sent Rabbi Tony up there to Roanoke, and he sent Rabbi George up to Kentucky, up just south of Cincinnati there in Lexington, Kentucky, and he sent Rabbi Adler, Rabbi Bruce out there to Louisville, and Rabbi Ken Alperin's in Nashville. He scattered us little Messianic rabbis all over the country and all over the world to teach Christians and anyone who would listen, so that when the time comes at the end, you won't be clueless. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right, so let's go on. So we're in the 7th month. As I write this article, as I was writing this article just a few days ago, I recognized that it was the time when Noah's Ark landed. That's pretty cool. Last Wednesday, Noah's Ark landed. That was the anniversary, you know. It was right in the middle of the Feast of Booths, of Tabernacles. Now, it says in John 7, verse 2. Let's go to John 7 now. Let's take a Luke. That's a bad joke. All right. John 7, verse 2. Now the feast of the Jews, the feast of booths, was near. Now remember, a sukkah, everybody say sukkah, which is the root word of Sukkot. This feast is called Sukkot. And a sukkah is a booth or a tent or a hut. Amen? Okay. So the English word translation would be booth or tabernacle. So this is known in your English Bible often as the Feast of Booths or the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay. So in John 7, 2, it says, now the feast of the Jews, the feast of booths, was near. Therefore, his brothers said to him, leave here and go into Judea to the feast. And so they said, so Jesus said to them, my time is not yet here, but your time is always opportune. Go up to the feast yourselves. John 7, 2. Now, let's stop there for a second. He calls it the Feast of the Jews, John 7, 2. Now, for many years, I don't know whether it was timidity, I don't know whether it was fear of offending Christians, fear of being prideful, I didn't call them the Feasts of the Jews. I called them the Feasts of the Lord. I called them God's Feasts. Or God's appointed times. What does Leviticus 23 call them? It says God's appointed times, right? In Leviticus 23, it says these are God's appointed times. So a guy wrote a book called God's Appointed Times. And this has all eight of them, plus Hanukkah and Purim, two bonus feasts. And I'm not trying to sell you, I'm trying to teach you. So you can't get this in a Christian bookstore, but you can get it here. They're $16 or $14 here. If you order it by mail, you're watching, just www.forzionsake.org, forzionsake.org. You can order this book and we'll mail it to you for $16 as a suggested love offering for this book. It explains God's all eight feasts and how Jesus fits into the feasts. Okay? But I struggled. I people would say to me, well, they're not the Jewish feasts. They're the feasts of God. They're the feasts of the Lord. But then I was reading the other day in Luke 7 and John 7, 2, it says, now the feast of the Jews, the feast of booths, was near. So for 16 years, I was caving in. For 17, 16, 17, 18 years, I was caving in to pressure, being somewhat ashamed, maybe, of calling it a Feast of the Jews. I confess, I didn't want to sound like it was just a Jewish feast because I wanted non-Jews to feel welcome to come. But you know what happened? Christians started celebrating the Jewish feasts without Jews. Wait a second. Now, some people say here, well, they're not the feasts of the Jews. I know, I hear it considered. Somebody's out there saying, they're not the feasts of the Jews only. They're the feasts of all believers, and they're feasts of God, and they're feasts that belong to the Lord. But didn't God entrust His Word? Didn't God entrust His oracles? Didn't God entrust His feasts? Did He give them to the French? Did He explain to the French or the Germans or the Austrians or the Hungarians or the Serbians or the Croats or the Bosnians or the Macedonians how to celebrate the feasts? No. He explained them to a bunch of Jewish people. Right. Amen?
Salvation is of the Jews.
Salvation is of the Jews. You got it. So the Feast of the Jews... I don't want to belabor this point about it, but didn't it say on Jesus' cross, King of the Jews? Right? And in Luke 1, it says he's coming back to sit on David's throne.
Amen.
He will sit and it's talking about his birth, it says he will rule, he will sit on David's throne. Is David a Jew? Was his throne Jewish?
Amen.
Was it in Israel?
Yes.
Amen. Was it a Spanish throne? I lived in Spain for half a year. King Juan Carlos was the king when I was there. Now his son Felipe is the king. The old king's retired, probably golfing. The young king is ruling, a handsome guy with a beautiful wife, plenty of money, probably goes down to Monaco, goes down to the roulette tables down there in Monaco and rides speed boats and has a good time on the Côte d'Azur, the French Riviera, amen? And has a pretty nice life being the king of Spain. And the king of Denmark has a king. And England has a queen. But if she dies, then her son will be the king. Amen? Are any of those monarchies Jewish? Are they Israelitish? No. There's only one throne of David. There's only one kingdom of David. Amen? There's only one kingdom of David, and Jesus is the king of the Jews. So, there's four kind in Jewish interpretation of the Bible. There's four types of interpretation. There is Peshat, which is the simple, literal interpretation. When it says King of the Jews on the cross of Christ, it's saying it's pretty plain. He's the King of the Jews, right? The Jews didn't like that, by the way. When the Romans wrote it on the cross, they said, take that off. But it was true, wasn't it? Okay. So in Peshat, there's four levels of translation of understanding the Bible, of interpreting Scripture. Peshat, which is simple or literal. Then there's Remez, which is the hint, when the Bible hints at something. And Jesus said that he told his disciples, I speak in parables. So because you will understand what I speak, but they won't. Amen? I speak in parables, Mark 13, I think it is, or Matthew 13. I speak in parables because it has been given to you, say me, to understand the kingdom, the things of God and the kingdom of heaven, but not them, the heathen, the uncircumcised heathen, the unbeliever, the mocker. Jesus spoke in parables. So the second level of Jewish interpretation of the Bible is remez, the hint, that it's hinting at something. The third level is the drash, and the drash literally means to search, but the drash is the allegory or the metaphor. So we're going to look at that tonight. We're going to look at the allegory or metaphor. And then there's the saw. That's the hidden meaning. The hidden meaning. So in Jewish theology, there's four levels of interpretation. Plain and simple, literal. Then there's the hint, what it's hinting at. Then there's the allegory or the metaphor, you know. And I'm going to show you some examples. Then there's the hidden meaning. Okay, if you're not Jewish, you're going to get real lost in the Bible if you don't understand Jewish interpretation. Okay? And I'm going to show you how. All right, so right now, Jesus spoke in parables, and he said, so when he says this feast is a feast of the Jews, he's speaking in Peshat, simple, literal. It's a feast of the Jews. Amen? Where are you at? Can you turn me up a little bit? Please, thank you. Where are you? You're in a synagogue. Celebrating what? Sukkot. Do they celebrate Sukkot, the church up the street? No. 99.9% of the churches in this area don't celebrate Sukkot, do they? So where are you going? If you're going to celebrate it with a Jew, you come to a synagogue. Amen? Pretty simple. That's a simple interpretation, right? Feast of the Jews, where are you going to find it? In a synagogue. Okay. All right, let's move on. So along with being chosen, meant that God entrusted us with His Word, His revelation, His oracles, including His calendar and times. He called us to bring the Messiah into the world physically through a Jewish woman and a Jewish man, although the Jewish man didn't actually plant the seed, he just fathered the child. He parented through the line of Jacob, through the line of Judah, and He called us to bring knowledge of the Messiah, which we call the gospel, and God, the God culture. He told us to bring the God culture and make disciples of all nations. Students, in Matthew 28, when He sent us out to the world, He told us to go and make disciples of all nations, Gentiles. Students. His disciples were His students, right? Did they follow Him? They followed Him for 3.5 years, but they also learned from His Holy Spirit for the rest of their lives, right? They never stopped following Him, did they? Amen? In fact, what were one of the last words that Jesus, before He ascended, He said to Peter? He said, "You follow Me. You follow Me." If you're a student of God, you're going to be a student of a rabbi. It's fine to be a student of a Christian preacher, and I believe in the church. I believe in the time of the Gentiles. I believe you can learn a lot from Christian pastors. I believe you can learn a lot, and that Christians have a lot of revelation, a lot of prophecy, a lot of understanding. But when it comes to Jewish stuff, we're going to get to it. Okay. But I support the church. I believe in the church. I believe the body of believers, non-Jewish believers who call themselves the church. And I believe that God's with them. I believe that God shows up in many churches on Sundays and Wednesdays and Tuesday prayer meetings and Thursday prayer meetings. My best intercessors are Christian women, and people who support me are not Jews. They're mostly Christians that support my ministry. I wouldn't be here. God bless the Christians who supported this ministry, because I wouldn't be here. I would have left a long time ago and got a job as a vacuum cleaner salesman if nobody supported me. Amen? And so we're one of the 20%. It's amazing, this little synagogue, 20% of Messianic Jews that actually own our own synagogue. We owe $71,000 on it, so if anybody wants to help pay it off, you know where to reach me. Love to pay it off so we don't have to pay flood insurance. I'm serious. You know, if you want to bless, the Roman centurion built the synagogue for the Jews, and God healed the man's servant, raised him off his sickbed in Luke chapter 7. You want to be blessed? Bless the Jewish synagogue. Amen. Especially a messianic one. Amen. So, God gave us all these things: His Word, His revelation, His feasts. Feasts belong to the Jews. The Bible belongs. He gave it to the Jews to bring to the world. He gave us revelation of His Word. He used Jewish guys to go out and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. You know, why? Because the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Romans 11:25. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. They're irrevocable. They never stop. Barbara Streisand would make one heck of an evangelist if she could just zip it, get saved, and go out and preach the gospel. Remember her in Funny Girl or whatever, when she was out, you know, being an activist and whatever. It was really annoying. And she was always, my mother would have made a great evangelist too. She actually said to me one time, she came to one of my services and she says, "I'm going to become an evangelist. I'm going to go out and preach, don't have children." That's what she said. literal comment from my mother. Thank God she already had me. So this has caused much jealousy, the fact that the Jews have all these gifts and an understanding of the Bible and the feasts. We possess it. In fact, the Bible even says the olive tree of Romans 11 is our olive tree. The olive tree in which Christians and Gentiles are grafted into says it's a Jewish olive. It says it's their olive tree. It says if we do not remain in our unbelief, it says, we will be grafted into our own olive tree. We own it. But I don't go walking around Bristol, hey there, Mr. Christian. You need to be messianic because you're messed up. You know, I don't go around telling people how to live their lives. I don't make you celebrate the feast. You get to. If you're not Jewish, you get to. Non-Jews are welcome. Read Numbers 15. It says that. Numbers 15, 14. If you're not Jewish, you're welcome to come to the feast. As long as you dwell with the Jews, you're welcome to come to a Messianic synagogue. There was a court of the Gentiles in the temple, always. In Acts chapter 2, there were Gentiles, there were proselytes there. They weren't there to see Jesus. They were there to celebrate an ancient feast of Moses. Read it. Acts chapter 2, the proselytes are the Gentiles. They came to celebrate, and that was the birth of the church. Amen? They were there for a Jewish holiday. They were seeking the God of Israel. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Spirit poured out. And 3,000 were added on that day. Amen? But it's caused a lot of jealousy of the Jew. Just like the Pharisees didn't like Jesus too much because he had big crowds and they were jealous of him. I think there's a lot of Christian pastors who are jealous of Messianic Jews. I think there's a lot of Christian pastors and leaders out there that are jealous of guys like me because you think that because we're a threat to you and you won't admit it. Some of you will admit it. And I've had your people come and tell me about what things you've said. And you're busted. So I tell you to repent. Not all of you, some of you. Because I've heard the things you've said about me and I've heard the things you've said about us. And if you curse the Jews, God says, I'll bless those who bless the Jews, and I'll curse those who curse them. You want to be cursed? Go right ahead. It's your choice. It's caused a lot of jealousy of the Jew and persecution of my people to this very day, even in the church. Believe it or not, just look at the Crusades, the Spanish Inquisition, the pogroms of Russia, the Holocaust, the history of murder, expulsion from nations, theft of Jewish property, rape of our women, forced conversion by the church throughout history. Anti-Semitism is alive and well in the church today. Just look up the BDS movement, boycott, divest, what's the third one? Sanction Israel. Many Christians support boycott BDS. Just Google it, BDS movement. You'll see many Christians support it. Christian leaders who stand with Palestinians against Israel. Look up Christ at the checkpoint. You'll see that Bill Hybels' wife is one of the leaders. Bill Hybels of that big church in Chicago. I forget the name of it. Anyway, famous pastor Bill Hybels. His wife was a big leader of Christ at the checkpoint. The Bible Answer Man, I forget his name. He's a big anti-Semite. And there are a lot of people you'll read about. Just Google BDS. You'll see a lot of Christian leaders and theologians are anti-Semitic. They're pro-Palestinian. But I want to focus on the Feast of the Jews. I want to make it brief. So God never intended for the church or non-Jews. God never intended for the church or non-Jews to appropriate the Jewish feasts or Sabbaths without the covering of Jews, especially believing or messianic Jews who God has raised up in these last days to bring the church of believers more physically. He raised up messianics to bring Christians and non-Jews more physically into the olive tree, not just spiritually, but to bring you, to put a leaf, to put a branch, a palm branch in your hand and a piece of fruit so you would understand, not just by reading it in a book, but by actually walking around a room worshiping God with a palm branch. So that you'll overcome because you understand the times. And they don't. Amen. God never intended for the church or non-Jews to appropriate Jewish feasts or stuff, Sabbaths without the covering of Jews. I'm no Methodist. I'm not a Baptist. And it would be wrong for me to open up a Sunday church and put on the robes of a Methodist or a Lutheran or an Episcopalian. It would be wrong for me to get a three-piece suit and a watches. Huh?
Pocket watch.
Yeah, pocket watch. You know, and a King James 1611 Bible and call this New Hampshire Avenue Baptist Church. I'd be misrepresenting myself and I'd be misappropriating stuff that doesn't belong to me. I'm not a Baptist. I'm not in the Church of God. I'm not in the Church of Christ. I'm not in the Church of Episcopal or the Methodist Church. I'm a Jew. And if I presented myself as anything else, I'd be lying. I'm a Jew for Jesus. God has raised us up in these last days to bring the church of believers more physically into the olive tree of Israel. See Numbers 15, 14, Isaiah 14, 1, Isaiah 56, Ezekiel 47, 21. You can look those up on your own. I'll say it again. Numbers 15, 14 through 17, Isaiah 14, 1, Isaiah 56, Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 21. On your own time. You can listen to this message. It'll be online. When Christians or non-Jewish believers practice the feasts and Sabbaths of the Jews, it's like baking chocolate chip cookies without the chocolate chips. When Christians appropriate the Jewish feasts and Sabbaths of the Jews and do it without Jews, it's like baking chocolate chip cookies without the chocolate chips. That's the best part, right? It's like making a cinnamon coffee cake without walnuts or frosting. It's like baking a carrot cake without the carrots. Amen? Give me something good that you like to eat. Take the ingredient out that makes it good. Somebody. What?
Banana bread.
Banana bread without the bananas. I just wouldn't work, would it? Amen?
A T-bone steak
without the meat. When Christians appropriate Jewish feasts or Sabbaths without the covering of Jews, especially believing Messianic Jews who God has raised up in these last days to bring the church of believers more physically into the olive tree, when they appropriate it, it's like baking chocolate chip cookies without the chocolate chips. A key ingredient is missing, the Jew. God never intended for non-Jewish believers to appropriate the things of the Jews. He intended for us to enjoy them together. As in Acts chapter 2, he said in Ephesians 2, he said, together we are being built into a dwelling place of God. Together we are being built into a temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Not apart. Together. Praise God. Somebody say amen. But there's a bunch of people out there doing it themselves, and it's for no benefit. I heard about some group having some Indian chief last year blowing smoke in people's faces on this feast. I mean, what's that all about? You know, some Indian chief guy out there blowing smoke in people's faces. People told me about it. I don't know. You know, what's that got to do with Sukkot? Does it say, so invite an Indian chief? I'm an Indian. I'm tribal. I'm from the tribe of Judah. You know, does it say to blow smoke in people's faces? And people get wacky. When they're not grounded or taught right,
amen,
they go off and do wacky stuff.
Amen.
God bless the chief. Keep him far away from me.
All right, God never intended for non-Jewish believers to appropriate the things of the Jews. He intended for us to enjoy them together, as in Acts 2 and many other places in the Bible. To do otherwise is doctrinal error. To do otherwise is doctrinal error. It's heresy. The parable of the fig tree. Yeshua, Jesus, spoke to the people before he said, go back to Matthew 24. Before he talked about the days of Noah, he talked about the parable of the fig tree. He said, and the disciples, now this is, remember I talked about allegory, the drash. I talked about allegorical interpretation of the Bible, four levels of Jewish interpretation. The drash is the allegorical or metaphorical interpretation of the scripture. Here's allegory, a parable. A parable is an allegory. It's a metaphor. So in Matthew 24:32, Jesus said, "Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Again, the times. He's talking about the times. Then he goes on to talk about Noah. Go down to verse 37. "For the coming of the Son of Man will be like the days of Noah." What's the fig tree all about? Well, the fig tree is about understanding the times. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Jesus answered, "To you it has been given, granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." Matthew 13:10. In Matthew 24:32, Yeshua was explaining to his disciples about his return when he said, "Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and put forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, that he's right at the door." The things he was referring to were wars, earthquakes, false messiahs, tribulation, persecution of believers, lawlessness, martyrdom, blood moon, Antichrist, to name a few. I encourage you to read all of Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21 on your own time. Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. But let's go back to the fig tree. First of all, the fig tree represents the revival. Here's the allegory. What's the fig tree all about? Here's the meaning. The fig tree represents Israel, the revival and the rebirth of the Jewish people spiritually, and that the state of Israel too. Several scriptures equate the fruit of the fig tree with the Jewish people. Did you know that? Hosea 9, verse 10 says, "I found Israel, your fathers, as the first fruits on the fig tree." Hosea 9, verse 10. So way before Matthew, he was already talking about Israel as the fig tree. Jeremiah 24, 3-8, he talks about Israel as the fig tree. Matthew 21, 18, 19, he curses the fig tree. He's cursing the Jews who don't believe. He's cursing his own people. He's upset. He's cursing, knowing that not all of us are going to, you have to understand fig trees. Fig trees blossom three times a year in Israel. And in the summer, the figs are sweet. One other, I think in I can't remember the other two seasons, but one other season they're sweet. And the third season, they're bitter. They're inedible. The third blossoming, they're inedible. And that's when he said he cursed that tree because the fruit was inedible. It wasn't a fruitful bough. He cursed it like the branch thrown into the fire. Amen? Just as God is no respecter of persons and Jewish people are not any better than Gentiles or Christians, and we many of us have fallen, Many Jews have stumbled. Many Jews are, not in a good place right now. They've perished because they didn't believe. Amen? They didn't obey God. Just as many non-Jews. God's no respecter of persons. But the fig tree represents Israel. Okay, let's finish up. So Jesus meant that when you see the leaves growing on the fig tree, you know that summer is near. The rebirth, i.e. the rebirth of Israel, both spiritually and physically, and all the events related to his second coming. So when you see Jews accepting Jesus, when you see Messianic Jewish rabbis who believe in the Messiah, know that Jesus is standing right at the door. When you start seeing tens and hundreds of thousands of Jews and hundreds of Messianic congregations in Israel, filled with believers, see, Messianic Judaism, we're not a denomination. We're the revival of Israel prophesied in the Old Testament. You're looking at it with your very eyes, the return of the Jews. Amen. And you know what? The majority of people out there, they either know we're here and could care less. They have understanding, some of them, and they don't care about it, like the Pharisees. Then there's others that they know we're here, but they just, some have understanding. Then there's those who know we're here and have no understanding, but they won't come because they're stuck in a box. Whatever their denominational box is, they can't get out of it, and they're stuck. So they can't come and visit a Messianic congregation or learn from a Jew. Then the third group is the biggest group of all, and that's the group of the millions of people who have no clue that we even exist, that they don't even know anything about the Bible, or they don't know the Jews are going to come back, or the fig tree, or any of that. And 40,000, I don't know how many people, Blue Oyster Cult said 40,000 men and women every day. I don't know how many people die every day. But it's, 40, 60, 80, 100,000 every day. Go to hell! Because they did not know the times or the Messiah. Amen. Let's finish up. So therefore, when the time of Noah's Ark comes again, most people won't be ready. They will not understand, and 2,000 years of Christianity without Jewish understanding has not prepared them. And God sent us to be a tool. God sent me to be a blessing to the church, to you, and to the people of this region. And I'm just a man. I'm 53. I'm fighting leukemia. I won't be here forever. I don't know how much longer I'll be here. I may be here for 2 more months. I may be here for 20 years. I don't know. God, my time is in God's hands. But for 20 years, God sent me to you. And if you're here tonight, I say, blessed are you. Because I know God sent me here. And I've said this many times. May lightning strike me and hellfire and brimstone fall on my head right now if I'm not the Jew that God sent to this region to teach you. I feel confident saying that because I know who I am. And I know hellfire and brimstone aren't going to fall on my head, and lightning isn't going to strike me down. Because I know God sent me and called me. I was there the night he called me. I was there when he called me here. This was flyover country for me. I didn't know this place existed. In fact, when I met my wife, and she invited me and told me her family came from the Booger Den hauler and the Lizard Slide hauler, I thought I should pack toilet paper in my suitcase when I came to visit. I'd never been to a Booger Den. She was teasing me. They don't actually live in a Booger Den anymore. They've outgrown the Booger Den. Now, I can't speak for the Lizard Slide. But anyway, I've never been down a lizard slide. They won't be ready, as it was in the days of Noah. As I mentioned earlier, we are currently in the 7th month of God's biblical Jewish calendar. The story of Noah is a parable of the end times. After the parable of the fig tree, Yeshua began to talk about Noah. Jesus said, "For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be." Brothers and sisters, I have a lot more to say, but I'm going to stop, because if you want to hear my message, you can go online to my website. I gave this full message yesterday, and there's a lot more to it in prophecy, and you can get it. You go online at www.forzionsake.org. But I think I've made my point tonight. And if you want the full message, sign up for my newsletter, because I'm teaching on it this month. If you want the full message, you can get it on, go to the archive of videos on my website, www.forzionsake.org, forzionsake.org. And you can get the prophecy about the end time and why I talk about it. The coming of Jesus depends on the Jews. The return of Jesus depends on two Jewish events, two major Jewish events. And I'm not going to tell you tonight. You're going to have to listen. You're going to have to go listen to the message on my news, or get my sign up for my newsletter, because I'm not going to sit here and keep these people late. But it's there. It's on our website. Is it there, Carol? Yesterday's message, the 19th. Yesterday was the 19th. Look up the message. God, what is it called? As it was in the days of Noah, from part one, from Matthew 24, from yesterday, October 19th. You can listen to it. Fast forward if you don't want to watch the whole service. Fast forward to the message. If you're my friend on Facebook, you can watch my message. It's on my Facebook page, my personal page. And the other thing is, you can order a CD. If you want to order a CD, I think they're $7. You can get a CD of the message. And you can learn those two Jewish things that have to do with the return of Jesus before he can come back. There's two Jewish things that have to happen. Please rise. I want to bless you. Thank you all for coming tonight. I hope God's enlightened you some, and that you've learned something. There's a lot more, as I said, to teach. Now we're going to go out.
Yeah, Rabbi, before you give the blessing, just real quick.
Yeah, sure.
If you all can help me carry some elements down. I made homemade challah bread, so we'll have that together with some grape juice for communion, mm-hmm. as they say. And if someone could take the water, we're going to do water libation. We're going to partake in pouring the water out. Rabbi can explain that.
Yeah, that was part of the custom. In Israel's a desert, and so this feast was the beginning of the rainy season, and if they didn't get rain, they had no agricultural harvest, so they would pray for rain. That's why Jesus said on the last day, this is the last and greatest day of the feast, that's why he said, if any man thirsts, he related it to water, because this feast is, the Jews prayed for water, for rain. But he said, if this water, if you drink this, you'll thirst again. But any man who comes to me, the water I give him, he will not thirst again. Amen?
Amen.
So he was, and so it was customary at the temple in the time of Jesus to have a water libation. They would take precious water and they would pour it out as an offering for the Lord, asking the Lord as a way, giving precious water as a way of asking the Lord to give them rain in season so that they would have crops. And that's why, so we're going to pour some water out tonight.
Pour some water. We're going to have some challah bread. If someone can grab the palms and the lemons, we'll all go together. And we'll do this together inside our huppah, or excuse me, the sukkah.
In the sukkah. We're going to go in the sukkah. You're going to actually go into the booth, into the sukkah.
Right.
Those who want to stay. Right. And is there coffee and dessert, too?
I don't believe there's any coffee or anything.
There's no coffee.
Well, there's some cookies, a little treats, but there's no coffee
okay,
made.
Okay, there's some cookies
but
over there.
But we do have handouts of prayer. We'll say the Hallel.
We're going to say the Psalm 118, right. the Hallel, which is customary okay. on this holiday.
Thank you.
So anybody who'd like to go down to the sukkah, we're going to make our way down there. And Anthony and Diane are going to lead us. Anthony... So just follow them down, and I'll be right down. I'll be right down. But you go ahead and start, and you go in the sukkah, and I'll be right down, okay? Thank you for coming. I didn't give the blessing. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how I shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'ir Adonai panavelecha Echunecha Yisa Adonai Panavelecha Vayesem lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of Yeshua the Messiah and Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom. Thank you.
So if someone could take, whoever's staying and going with us, David, if you don't mind taking your...
Greet one another. We have some music. If you see someone you don't know, say hello.
Well, I didn't know if we want to just go back in here and pull over if we can carry it.
Is someone coming? Who's all coming down? Who's all coming down?
Would somebody greet?
Like him, lion and the lamb, seated on the throne. Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. Praise Adonai, from the rising of the sun till the end of every